welcome to the Garden Show. This is Kitty LaBounty with you today, and I have a special guest, Jasmine Shaw.
Hello. I'm a regular on Raven Radio, but this is first time on the Garden Show, so thank you, Kitty.
It's fun. It's nice. So I asked Jasmine to come on the show because Jasmine, not just because Jasmine's my friend and we've done some gardening together, but because she works for the Cooperative Extension Service. And we wanted to take this opportunity to really talk about what the Cooperative Extension is and how it can be useful to gardeners, both here in Sitka and actually in other areas, in our listening areas, and actually what it does a little bit over the state as well. So thanks so much for joining me and agreeing to take on this task.
Yes, yes. And I mean, you've also collaborated with me on so many different extension projects. You're kind of extension, I don't know, associate.
That's right. That's right. I think at one time my career choice was I really wanted to be an extension agent. That didn't quite work out. I'm happy with the job I have. But yes, I'm pretty passionate about keeping the cooperative extension going, and because it's such a valuable resource for us. So tell us, what is the cooperative extension, Jasmine?
Well, it's the gateway to the university for the public. And so you can think of us as the outreach arm. And we provide workshops, publications, free publications, as well as paid publications and other various services, all research-based right. from the university. Agriculture, horticulture, food preservation, energy, housing, a whole gamut of different topic areas and specialties are services are offered.
Right, pretty huge. And it's actually associated with University of Alaska Fairbanks, not UAS or UAA, I mean directly.
That is correct. It's a nationwide, you know, associated with a land grant university. And so the University of Alaska Fairbanks is that for the state.
Nice. Yes. And so there's agents in various parts of the state, if I remember right, and actually in some areas, maybe several.
Yes, that is correct. We have about 14 to 15 different offices around the state of Alaska, but not all of them are serviced with agents. And you can think of agents as kind of specialists in a certain area. Sitka doesn't have any agents. We're an outreach center, therefore. But we're still that kind of hub where people can go for information. And even if there is an agent directly in your area, you know, in this informational Zoom post, you know, COVID era, people are very accessible via the internet and email and whatnot too. So
yeah, it's been a little while since we had an agent.
Correct.
Bob Gorman was our last agent. Jill Thayer was the agent before then. And the office at one point in time was actually in the old post office, which is now the city building. And I think for quite some years, it's been over at University of Alaska Southeast.
Yes, yes. And our closest, I guess, agent in proximity would be over in Juneau. We have two agents located in the Juneau District Office.
Right. And it seems like one is more associated with gardening, maybe one more with food preservation.
Yes, yes. Sarah Lewis will actually be in Sitka. She's doing an Alaska Maritime cruise of Southeast communities on her sailing boat this summer.
Fun.
So she's going to pop through Sitka as well as other other listening areas for Raven Radio. So look for her boat, the Junie Bee.
Oh, that's fun.
And Darren Snyder is our ag hort as well as youth development agent in Juneau.
Oh, cool. So is her maritime travels, is that official cooperative extension
yes,
business?
Yes, yeah, yeah. This is the first year she's trying that out. She was going to do it in 2020, but, you know, yeah. Delayed it a year due to COVID. And so she's going to, I believe, be visiting 5 different communities on her tour. And if it goes well, she'll do it again next summer, perhaps
fun.
Different communities.
Right. So is the schedule posted?
Yeah, actually, if you give me a moment, I can probably find it. I know Sitka and Cake, as well as Tenneke Springs
oh, nice.
On the tour. But Yeah, just give me a moment.
And, yeah, sorry. And I was like, oh, there was, I did talk to Jasmine before this, but there's always something that you're like, oh, that's pretty interesting. That would be cool for people to hear about. I've done a couple of classes with Sarah Lewis, and I'm sure other people have as well. And you may wonder, well, what's that got to do with the garden show? But it's always good to know what to do with your produce after you grow it.
Okay, so here's the Maritime Extension Program. Full schedule, July 1st through August 8th. She'll be in Cake, July 8th and 9th. Sitka, July 16th and 17th. And she'll be doing workshops on the ground here in Sitka. Then Angoon, July 21st and 22nd. Tenneke Springs, July 24th. And then Haines, July 28th through August 1st at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. Nice. And then Skagway, August 4th and 5th. And so, yeah, she'll be traveling by boat, teaching food preservation, on-farm produce safety, another mm-hmm. thing that might be of interest, and food entrepreneurship classes. So cottage food stuff, if you want to sell at the farmer's market.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, hopefully we can get all that on the community calendar as well.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to go back a little bit because I'm easily sidetracked, and that was pretty interesting to me. But I wanted to go back to the gardening part of the Cooperative Extension. The Cooperative Extension has a lot of services for gardeners that people may not be aware of. And I think one that I've made use of several times actually is soil testing.
Yes. And we actually used to have a soil testing laboratory here in Alaska. It closed in 2016 due to budget cuts, but we are still offering interpretation of soil test lab results. And so when people contact the office wanting to find out, you know, what is in their soil, do they need to lime, you know, what amendments, what fertilizer, I usually send them a publication, factors to consider in choosing a soil testing laboratory, and often recommend people go to Brookside Laboratory.
Mm-hmm, right.
And there's instructions on how to prepare your soil lab sample,
right,
for sending. And that's particular because a lot of the soil testing labs on the West Coast actually don't do the Malic 3 test, which is what we need for Alaska. And so once you get the results, it's a printout. You can forward it to me, and then we'll give your recommendations all for free.
Oh, that's nice. So do you Jasmine Shaw do the recommendations, or do you send it to someone else?
So when Bob Gorman was here, he did them, and so I would, you know, I kind of trained under him and helped him. And so usually I'll do a soil recommendation, but I'll send it up to another agent that's a soil scientist specialist, right, just to see if he has anything else to add,
right,
or any further recommendations.
Yeah, no, it's been very handy. I do remember stumping Bob a few times because he was like, how is your soil have such high organic matter and such neutral pH? And I was like, well, I worked hard at it.
You're in a special microclimate over on your island. So.
And I've been like very carefully, like I have all forest soil, so it's all organic. I don't have any mineral soil, I don't think, in my garden whatsoever. But I've like worked at trying to to get that the pH down to neutral so that the nutrients are available. So it is really important. It's like, you know, if you've had a garden for a long time and it starts to change, it seems like it's a really good idea maybe to get your soil tested again. Maybe what you've been doing for a long time worked for a while, and then it's like, hey, I need to change it up.
Yeah, and people that do raised bed gardening will often do a soil test for different beds because it can be a completely different composition. So
yeah, you don't remember what the cost is, do you?
It's not high. I want to say about $35 for a soil sample.
That's pretty reasonable, actually. And I kind of cheated on mine. I remember combining a few different beds.
Well, yeah.
And mixed it up. So I at least got a general idea because I kind of treat my beds mostly the same. So having one, but having two probably would make a certain amount of sense depending on the size of your garden. With mine, yeah, it probably makes some kind of sense.
Yeah, exactly.
To do something different. So soil testing is a great service. It can actually save you money in terms of what nutrients you're adding. It can let you know, like, if you've added too much of something. I remember Bob telling me, maybe hold off on the seaweed for a couple of years, because the potassium had really crept up quite a bit, which I thought was, I was like, that never occurred to me that that would happen. But
And we find sometimes people over lime or so.
Yeah, which seems impossible in our climate, but obviously it is not.
No.
Cool. So soil testing is one resource. What are some other resources that you have for gardeners?
So I mentioned our free publications. We have probably over 300 publications, not all on gardening, but probably at least half of them are related to gardening, agriculture, livestock. I know people have rabbits and goats and things in here. We've got publications on those types of things. How to raise chickens in Alaska. And so they can contact the office and I can either send them to you electronically or get you a physical copy. Some people prefer to have the physical copy.
So, and I know there's been, well, the university has been closed for a little while, but usually the office is actually located on the ground floor, you know, UAS, over the bridge, if you're in Sitka, through that big double door. And if you take a right past the desk, there's an office there.
Right, room 107. Typically, as Kitty said, the office is closed, or the building is closed to the public right now, but we hope to be back open probably in the fall.
I think that's what I've heard. And so there's always an array of publications available at the office. There's, and even if the office is closed, Jasmine has the publications outside. So
yes,
there's options.
Yes.
There's options, but it's kind of cool the variety of publications there are. And I think I don't have quite a full set, obviously, because there's more than I could possibly fit even in my file cabinet. But there's, you know, growing carrots. So if you have questions about, oh, how do I grow carrots in Alaska? How do I grow coal crops? I think there was special ones on that. Tomatoes, seems like that was a big one. And cucumbers.
Yep.
There's like no end.
Right. Some of our most popular for here, you know, our recommended varieties for Southeast Alaska. People want to know which varieties of vegetables they should be planting. Growing fruit trees in Alaska is another popular one.
I bet it is.
And 16 easy steps to gardening in Alaska. That's a popular one.
I like it. I'm like, what are the 16 easy steps? Huh? Not move. No, never mind. I didn't say that. Yeah, I suspect one is build a raised bed.
Yes.
It's somewhere in that 16. It's like, and this last, the weather the last day or so is kind of illustrated why raised beds are so incredibly valuable. With all the rain we've had, we really need that drainage you get from those big raised beds. And this was also a good time to have things covered in various ways.
Yes.
So it's good. So, oh, I know one thing I had. I are any of the publications just like available online that you can like
yes
tool through?
Yes, there is. Right on our website, the Cooperative Extension.
That website, Jasmine?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get the exact web address for it. But you can go to CES for Cooperative Extension Service, pubs.uaf.edu, and tool through all the different publications there and download what you need directly.
Right. So you can do it yourself.
Exactly.
Or you can call Jasmine at, what's your office number?
It's 907-747-9440.
So you can call Jasmine, and I suspect right now it's going to be mostly leave a message.
Right. Because since we are still kind of in this closed office period, the messages go directly to my email if I'm not not in the office itself. So you can also email me at JD for dog, SHAW2@alaska.edu.
There you go. So you have a couple of different ways to look for Jasmine. And I suspect that is the local number also in the phone book?
It is.
If all else fails.
It is.
So there's lots of ways to get in touch with a cooperative extension. So, and don't hesitate. It's nice to know that the messages go to your email, because yes, it's not like, oh, you have to physically go over to the office, which always adds some wait time. But I know she's very responsive to questions. So lots of resources available. Oh, the one thing I thought was interesting about the varieties is you may wonder, it's like, well, great, you know, I mean, I have one of the old variety lists probably from the 80s, but I think that the recommended varieties is updated periodically.
Yes, all the publications are updated. I think our cycle is every 2 to 3 years.
That's
the publications
quick.
Have to be reviewed by mm-hmm. the main author and updated. And so you are getting, you know, we're all about research-based, up-to-date
right.
information.
Right. And so the research for the varieties, does that happen in a systematic way, or kind of get feedback from different people? How's it go?
Yeah. So there are specific gardens that are trial gardens up in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. And here in Sitka, we have somewhat of a loosely associated trial garden with the USGS, old geodetic site, mm-hmm. and the National Park Service. A hoop house and a greenhouse where we can test different varieties. But we also welcome feedback from local gardeners.
Yeah.
And what is working for you and what varieties are doing well. And we collected a lot of information at the Southeast Farmers Summit that
right.
was here in Sitka a couple years ago.
Right.
To get that information from people like you guys right on the ground gardening.
Yeah, I know there was a big uh-huh. spreadsheet put together of, you know, varieties that people have had good luck with, and they were being tested in a bunch of different places in Southeast, including Sitka. So that was really useful. So is that updated list available through the Extension Service?
It is.
Oh, nice. We'll figure out how to get that.
Yeah.
So the you may not have heard of the Southeast Farmer Summit before, but it was here in town a couple of years ago, and obviously took a year off. But it sounds like it's going to happen again in 2022.
February 2022. Currently scheduled to be in person in Petersburg.
Nice, nice. And the Cooperative Extension does have something to do with the whole Farmer Summit now, but and maybe
playing a larger role into the future. Marja and Bo of Farragut Farms have been main organizers of the summit, and I think are ready to kind of pass it off. And it makes sense for an organization like the Cooperative Extension Service to step up and play a larger role. We've helped in providing speakers and logistics as far as, you know, conference sites and whatnot.
Right.
But we may be playing a larger role in the Farmer Summit moving forward.
Excellent. So, and I attended the one that was here, and it was great. It was really interesting to listen, even though I'm not a commercial gardener, I'm not a farmer, but you learn a lot from talking to people and listening to people talk who grow things commercially, that they're trying to actually make a living, or at least some of a living doing that.
I think you mentioned, you know, like the scale is so different,
mm-hmm.
but you can still pick up those tips for your own smaller garden.
Exactly. So I would recommend folks take advantage of that. Hopefully, I mean, it's hard to say if there'll be a distance component to.
Yeah, possibly. We had a full-on Alaska or Southeast Alaska Master Gardeners
right.
Conference this last spring during COVID that was very well attended
mm-hmm.
Via distance, and it was free, and had several of the same speakers that you
right.
would have at the Farmer Summit. And so that it may be that there will also be a hybrid component.
Right, right. I'm going to hope for that, because it's sometimes a little difficult to get to Petersburg. It adds a lot of cost, you know, or get to anywhere. But it seems like we did learn a lot about how to do things via Zoom, or and we should keep some of those
yes,
things.
Yes.
Speaking of things done during with Zoom, one of the other things that Cooperative Extension does is the Master Gardener classes.
Yes. And we, even prior to COVID, we have always had an Alaska online version of the Master Gardener class because there isn't always an extension agent in right. your community to be able to teach it. And so we have the online version of the Alaska Master Gardeners course coming up in August. It always fills up. So if you're interested, definitely register early. And it's going to run from August through December.
And that's through UAF.
And that is through UAF. So yeah, you have to register through the university.
So how would people find that class if they are interested?
And so same from the Cooperative Extension website. I gave you the publication one earlier. But if you just go to uaf.edu/CES and go under our gardening agriculture tab. There is a section for or lawn and gardening. Right. There is a section for the Master Gardeners
and
course.
If all else fails, you can call Jasmine.
Exactly. Exactly.
maybe the easier. So Jasmine and I, this is true confessions time, decided that by golly, it was time that Sitka have its own in-person Master Gardener class. And of course, we planned it for, you know, March through June 2020.
Right. I get requests for, even though we have this online version, mm-hmm. gardening is really, you know, people want to get their hands dirty. They want it in person. They want that specific local information.
Yes.
And so Bob Gorman used to teach a Master Gardener's course and travel around Southeast Alaska. Yeah, many gardeners, famous gardeners in Sitka were students of Bob. So the last one he had taught in Sitka was in 2013. And so Kitty and I thought, it's high time. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep getting requests at my office for a Master Gardener class here locally in Sitka. So, yep, we planned it to start March, 20th of 2020.
It was brilliant timing. But we still have the plans. We still have it all together. And I'm really hoping that we can pull it off.
Right. And well, let's not forget that we actually did something last year. We in the scramble that, you know, everyone was trying to, you know, figure out how to move forward once everything shut down. We kind of collaborated with the Juno Master Gardeners class, which was had already started in February, mm-hmm. switched to virtual. And so we tacked on to their class, had 12 Sitka students enroll. During COVID, you know, and we added some specific sessions led by Sitka gardeners to kind of beef up mm-hmm. the local portion of the course. And fantastic things came out of that Master Gardener class. We ended up creating a garden community that mm-hmm. I think was so important. Especially during during COVID and quarantine, we had these things called Garden Happy Hour Zooms, and we met bi-monthly through the winter.
Yeah.
You know, from May after the graduation of the Master Gardener mm-hmm. class, all the way up through December, on various topics. We had fun.
We did have fun, and it wasn't just people from Sitka. We had some regular attendees from Juneau and from Haines as well. And it actually provided both gardening information and garden exchange, people sharing what they were doing, as well as some little social that was really missing. Last year. So it was super nice to have that. Who knows if we'll do that.
And probably one of my favorite moments was Andrea from Middle Island Farms zooming in from her boat to give us a presentation on her garden.
Yeah, that was right. She didn't have good enough Wi-Fi at home, so she jumped into her skiff and, yeah, gave us her talk via the boat. That was probably the best. You got a little, like, seasick while you're watching, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It was good. So, yeah, I think lots of things are possible, but like I said, we did plan that whole unit using a lot of local gardeners, local expertise. So hopefully, I'm just going to cross my fingers that maybe we can do that next spring. But in the meantime, there is something starting in August if you're interested in doing the whole Master Gardener course online. And there's no reason why you can't do both.
Exactly. Yeah. So. You know, we've had people take the Master Gardener course over and over again because it's different every time.
Yeah, so we've gotten, I was like, oh, you know, we'll get on talking about food and all that, and we're almost out of time, but I did.
I'll just have to come back one day, Kitty.
Exactly, but I do want to, there's a couple other things that also relate to gardens that the Cooperative Extension does, especially, in particular, like putting food by. So, like, we've got all this produce, now what do?
Exactly. We have a whole food preservation, just like the Master Gardener course, we have a Master Food Preserver class you can take with Sarah Lewis.
Nice.
Also, she's getting that all hooked up to take online, so it doesn't have to be in person. Mm-hmm. She's, as I mentioned, her schedule is going to be here on July 16th and 17th, and one of the things she's going to do while she's here is a class out at HPR Rec, and it's going to be how to put up salmon, but you can take those same principles for putting up, you know, garden veggies.
Right. And so that's July 17th, and it sounds like people can register for that?
Yes, it's on the Sikikich Event Smart page and sounds should like be fun. On the community calendar.
Sounds like fun. Yeah. And if you're, so there's other things that you do for people who are like, oh, I don't need a canning course, but I have a canner. You do this special thing that makes sure that canning is safe.
Yes. You need, if you are canning, which many people in Alaska are, you should have your dial gauge tested annually. And so people come and bring either the lid with the gauge attached or just the lid or just the gauge itself. Mm-hmm. To my office, and it takes 5-10 minutes for me to run it against our master gauge and make sure that you're canning safely. And if the gauge is off, you know, I might tell you where you should be canning at, mm-hmm. or tell you to replace it.
Right. Altogether. I think that's what the advice I got last time from Sarah was, like, actually bring it up to here and then mm-hmm. it's fine. So I need to get mine tested again before I do some salmon canning. And that's super useful. So I was going to say, Sarah's actually really fun. She's another one that contributed to our garden happy hour. And she also gave one of her talks from her boat, if I remember right.
Yes, she did. Yes. In preparation for this maritime cruise, she wanted to see how it was to work in the kitchen, because ultimately she wants to actually teach classes on the boat itself.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Yeah.
That'll be really fun. So there's so many different things, and we've just hit a few of them. But yeah, so look for Cooperative Extension pamphlets on soil testing, on varieties, on how to garden.
There's we didn't even touch insects and pests. That's a whole other thing.
Oh, we have to do that. We have a few minutes left. I mean, one of the things about pest control is making sure you're actually treating the right thing. So knowing what your pest is. So if I find something on a garden plant, what do I do, Jasmine?
You can either send me a photo. Photos are key. Mm-hmm. People oftentimes will, you know, send me an email of what they think they have, you know, just mentioning an ID that maybe they looked up off the internet. But the photo ID is key, because often we find that it's not what you thought at all. And so sending either myself a photo, or that we have a direct portal on our website, the citizens monitoring portal. So you can be a citizen scientist and upload a photo and get a positive ID on your pest and then how to treat it.
So if I had sent a picture of my giant yellow jacket hive,
yes,
then perhaps I would have gotten some information. I like went, what do I do? What do I do? Where do I go? Because I found a giant yellow jacket, beautiful. It's a beautiful nest, but it was about, I don't know, almost a foot long.
Yeah. Well, it's that time of year. In Southeast, the queen begins to show up in May and June.
Mm-hmm.
So now's the time of year to be checking your eaves, doing
yes.
a walk around, and knocking off those initial nests before the workers come in. Because first
yes.
it's just the queen.
Yeah.
Once the workers are there, the nest can be built in like a week.
I think that's what happened. So, I was like, wait, I'd walked right past there and there wasn't anything.
Yeah.
So, yes, everyone take a good look around your eaves, your greenhouses, your house, and all that. Anyway, we are just about out of time. So thanks so much for joining me today for this version of The Garden Show. Molly and I will be back next week, and I might have to bring Jasmine back.
Okay.
It seems like there's so much more. Oh, and one last note. If you are interested in oyster shells for your garden, Renee at The Beak still has plenty. So, give her a holler.
Fantastic.
Thanks again, Jasmine.
Yeah, thank you, Kitty.
You are listening to KCAW Sitka.